Would you like me to introduce you?
Okay, this is Sister Helen Prejean. She'd like to make a statement.
Hi, I'm here because of the Journey of Hope and because of Murder Victims Families for Reconciliation, who invited me, as they often do when they do Journeys of Hope in different states, to come. The real heroes, if you're looking for heroes, are these people in this room who each have had a loved one killed and each has made his or her way down that road, that executing the person who killed their loved one is not going to bring them peace, it's not going to bring them healing, and it's not going to bring them closure. I'm here also to be part of this legislative initiative today, to talk to legislators, to take the first niche on the road of the moral high road on the death penalty for the mental retardation bill. At least this, not to kill the mentally retarded. And let me take you with me a bit on the road. I've been on this road of the death penalty since 1984 when I walked into the execution chamber in Louisiana and witnessed the execution in the electric chair, Patrick Saunier, S-O-N-N-I-E-R, who with his brother had been guilty of murdering a teenage couple. Watched him die there, came out of the execution chamber, knew that I had witnessed a man who had been in prison for a whole number of years, had been rendered defenseless and was brought in a room and killed by the state of Louisiana. Then we had three people killed, not just the teenage couple, but we had the one who had done the murder killed too. I began then to speak out on the death penalty to tell the story that led me to write the book Dead Man Walking, that led me to make the movie Dead Man Walking with Tim Robbins, Susan Sarandon, that led me to collaborate in the making of the opera of Dead Man Walking, which premiered in San Francisco last October. And now to work with Tim Robbins on the stage play of Dead Man Walking, not for Broadway, but for community theater and university theater, to help the American people take the death penalty, start from the outrage that we feel of a crime, and reflect on it to see if we can move on to another road. We are at a state now in this country, and I travel the whole country, 20 times a month I'm doing speaking engagements at churches, universities, or Rotary clubs, or whatever. And so I've been able to sense in the American people where they are on the death penalty. And what I have found is surface level, you ask people in this country, do you support the death penalty? It's been a majority of people have said, yeah, they support the death penalty. Forever, except for a short time in the 60s where it dropped below 50%. But where we are now, 95 innocent people have come off a death row. And you yourself here in Illinois have had to free some people. You freed three people, Clarence Dexter, Eric Clemens Bay, Lloyd Schlupe. And you say, well, but we don't have the same problem as Illinois, who freed 13 innocent people off a death row. But let me take you into the system. And let me tell you why you're not doing it any better in Missouri than we're doing it in Louisiana and doing it in Texas or doing it wherever we're doing it. If you look at where the truth is going to come out about a crime, it's got to be at the trial level. That's when a jury listens. That's when they make a decision of life or death. And so we look at the 3,700 plus people who've been sentenced to death and look at the 75 you have on death row. What happened at their trial and how much truth was able to be told so that jury, who's got to go behind closed doors and vote for life and death and be God, what kind of truth did they get? And then you start. You see, first of all, notice it's almost always poor people who are selected to be brought for the death penalty, and what kind of defense do they get? This guy, Mose Young, that's about to be executed by your state. In July, look what happened to him at his trial. Look at the defense he had or didn't have. A defense attorney who met with him for 20 minutes, who was coming out of a rape trial, a murder trial, had the young, then went to another murder trial, who didn't go to the scene of the crime, who didn't bring any witnesses, who was drinking alcohol during the trial, saying it takes the edge off. He was his defense. And in order for justice to happen in this country, when you come to trial, if you don't have an adversarial system, prosecution presents, defense presents. Prosecution brings up witnesses, defense brings up witnesses. Prosecution shows forensic evidence, defense shows independent testing of forensic evidence. If you don't have a true adversarial system, you have a rollover, you have a washover, and you don't have the defendants really getting the justice they need. And is this fair to juries? How do juries feel? Like, take the 13 innocent people who came off a death row in Missouri, or the 3 innocent people you had to release. That jury went behind closed doors and were told to citizens, now you got to do a real hard, tough thing for us. With what we've given you, you decide if a person lives or dies. Well, what if they think they're going in with the whole deck and they have 10 cards out of the deck because they couldn't get the truth at their trial? That's why this shift in public attitude is so palpable in this country at this time. The national poll recently done by Hart, it had been done in August, showed 64% of the American public supported a moratorium. Now it's up to 72%. Here in Missouri, 2 years ago, before Governor George Ryan released people off of death row, 54% of Missourians said that they supported a moratorium on the death penalty. Where is it today? You know it'll be higher. Because people have been impacted and shocked, really, by the fact that innocent people are coming off a death row. We really thought when we started down this road, and I personally, when I visited that first man, Pat Sonnier, on death row, my daddy's a lawyer. And I thought it would be a fluke if an innocent person went to death row. Because we got the appeal system, and by the time you get through all of that, how could they be innocent and be on death row? Well, we just freed 2 people who had been on death row in Louisiana 14 years. And it wasn't DNA. It was prosecutorial misconduct, withholding exculpatory evidence, putting up a jailhouse snitch in a key testimony. And you look what happens at these trials, and you begin to understand, how can we have justice? The American people are good and decent people. And they have not seriously bought into this thing, because as soon as you ask them the question and get it out of the abstract, as soon as you give them the question of life without parole over the death penalty, you lose that huge majority support for the death penalty. It shows the American people are really ready tomorrow at 9 o'clock, including here in Missouri, to have life without parole and not have the whole death penalty thing. We don't need it anymore. Maybe when we started to go down the road because of crime that had escalated in the 70s and we thought we got to show we're really tough, it's not serving us. It's not worthy of us. And here in Missouri, you have legislative initiatives, both for a moratorium, both for the mentally retarded, and it's not going to stop. Even if it doesn't pass this year, it's going to be back next year, because more and more this thing is caving in on itself because of all the injustices that are set up in it from the beginning. And so we got a chance to do some good and decent things. And notice where the leadership is coming from on this issue of moratorium. Conservative Republican folks. Governor George Ryan calls himself a conservative Republican who favored the death penalty, campaigned on the death penalty, believed in the death penalty, until he saw all the innocent people coming off a death row, drew a line and said, not like this. I've been in 4 states recently. New Mexico, sat with Governor Gary Johnson, who looked me straight in the eye, said, sister, you got to understand, I'm an eye for an eye man. And I'm thinking, this is not going to go well with this governor. And then he said, but look at how it's working. He said, we don't have a way to apply this thing fairly. And I'm a decent guy. And so he was working for a moratorium in New Mexico. Just came from Maryland. Maryland has a chance within the next couple of days of passing a moratorium bill. Why is all this happening? Why are there initiatives in at least 13 states for moratorium bill? And your state being one of them? Because people have looked at, we've been going down the road since 76. We executed close to 700 human beings. We're stepping back and we're saying, do we have to do this thing? And when you have the presence of a Bud Welch and a Marietta Yeager and Doris and Bill, they've all had people killed. And they know having the person in prison for life over against having them killed, after they're removed from it and that person's removed from their midst, do you need to kill them in order for them to get healing? They are the prize witnesses who can take us and who can say, that it's not helpful to them, nor is it helpful to any victims' families. And Bud, if we could get Bud Welch up here, you know, talking to the victims' families in Oklahoma City. And his estimate is half or more than half at this point, 6 years later. If Timothy McVeigh is executed or he's not executed, what is that? What difference is it going to make? So their witness, I think, is what calls us all to the moral decency on this issue in a way that nothing else can. Because there are two ways the death penalty has been legitimated by politicians. One is that it deters crime. Nobody or their cat believes that, including police chiefs who were, they were given a whole list of things, including the death penalty to deter crime, and they put the death penalty dead last. Because there's not reflection usually going on of people who do these crimes. The other way the death penalty has been legitimated has been that we need to do it for justice for victims' families. The victims' families deserve this death in order to honor their loved one. And you are in the presence of a whole group of people and who've been here a whole week talking to the people of Missouri and giving their witness and saying, we don't need this thing. I don't need this thing to help me heal. And Marietta will be the first to tell you, her little daughter, Susie, you're not going to honor her memory of her daughter killed by killing a sick man who killed her daughter. Their witness, I think, is very important. So let me stop here, and we can have your questions and also other members of murder victims' families that wishes to speak. Feel free to do so.